earlier this week, and he's like, all right, what do you want on PowerPoint? You know, you have any videos? You have this? And I was like, well, Dad, no. I just like that off because I have been praying for you guys. And I don't want my personality to get in the way. And my personality would be to just be zipping across this stage and telling you all kinds of stuff and getting you all excited. And I don't think that's for today. I think for today, I'm going to tone it down. And I just want you to hear the Lord's heart for you. And what I want you to know is that anything that I say, please hear me. It is not coming from me because my prayer has been for the week. For the week, I've been fasting for this. I gave up things that I love, and it was not easy. But you know, I did it because I just wanted me to be emptied, and I wanted God to just so be in me. I just kept telling the Holy Spirit, just have 100% possession of me because I want you to hear God's heart for you. I want you to hear what he's saying in these moments and in this time. And I believe that what God is saying to us is going to be life-changing, but it's also going to wake some of us up because it is time to get serious about God, to get serious about what he's saying, to get serious about what he's doing, because I do believe we are in the last days, and I know that God is not okay that there aren't very many of us ready to go to heaven. He wants everybody to go. And I am not, I don't want to be the person who, because of my pride or because of whatever else, I'm just letting people just be wishy-washy and just, yeah, I'll add God to my pocket, whatever. That is not what I want. I want to see people who are on fire, and we are bringing as many with us as we can. That's my heart's desire. Now, I also know, and I believe that this morning, there are a lot of you guys in here who have some pretty heavy prayer requests. There's some health issues. There's some marriage issues. We got some crazy kids raising. And God wants to realign our physical bodies and give you health. He wants to realign our marriages to his purposes and restore them, like miracle restore them, because I know some of you, even in your heads right now, are like, you have no idea what hell I'm living in. You're right, I don't, but God does. And he can totally turn some things around. And then we've got some kids. Now I say kids, but I'm talking about adult children. And y'all know how I feel about adult children. They're adults now, so you need to let them go. But just because you let them go doesn't mean you don't do anything. It means that we're going to begin to pray for these adult children because they will come back to God. They know what's right, but we have an enemy who's fighting against them, and he wants to destroy them. He wants them to join him in hell. But that is not going to happen because our prayers are heard. And that's something, Mom, that I just want to say to you, that thank you so much for so much prayer. I know that it's been the difference in my life. And you know, when I was a teenager, you know, I would be a little embarrassed of that or get a little annoyed. My goodness, she's praying again. And now I'm so grateful. And I hope that that's the mom and the woman that I become, because I can see, I mean, seriously, you guys are blessed to have her. She's up here praying for you all the time. You will reap the benefits of these prayers. And I want to tell you something else. Is Michael back in here yet, Shannon? Okay, then I'm going to wait. You just kind of wave at me when he gets back in here. So that's a blessing, and that's who I want to be. I want to be that blessing that just is so prayerful, because that is what changes things. But here's the lie of the enemy that I believed for a long time was, okay, I'll pray at night when the kids are in the bed. We're all going to pray because that's the good thing to do. But I didn't understand the immense power in those prayers. Guys, when we are praying, things are moving. Like, God is working for us in huge ways, because here's the thing, and this is what frustrates me, but is also really good. We live on this earth, and this is our reality for now, for a very short time. But there's a spirit realm that we can't see with our physical eyes. But it is very real. Ask anybody who's ever been on the dark side, or a witch, or a, you know, somebody who reads palms or whatever. They see that. They get to see that stuff with their eyes. We just have to have faith. That's the frustrating part for me, is that I just have to have the faith that there is this spiritual realm and it's happening all the time. When you pray, you are literally moving things in this spiritual realm. And that's actually the real reality, because that's where we're going to be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So don't be discouraged if you are praying and nothing's happening, but be encouraged. Pray more. Pray often. And I'm telling you, I asked the Lord, thank you. I asked the Lord that today, as we like make this, yes, I'm going to pray more. Yes, I want to read the word more, because it's going to come alive to you. You're going to see, God's going to show you little things like soon, like not like you got to do this for 3 months first and then God's going to show up. No, like this afternoon, just go home and start praying. And I'm telling you, you're going to get a phone call. You're going to get some kind of an answer, and you're going to just be like in awe of him, because he is flipping amazing. Like, there are no words. He is so sovereign. So much has happened in the last year and a half to Daryl and I that I literally just look at him and I'm like, God, only you could have done this. I mean, guys, if I could just tell you how grateful I am for my husband. Daryl decided about 6-9 months ago that he just was going to become a prayer warrior. And it's changed our whole family. It's changed him. Oh, he could be such a jerk. I'm just being serious. And he just dealt with so many issues that just hurt me and hurt him. And I was just like, God. But I really had thought, okay, we're just going to have to deal with this for the rest of our lives. Like, okay. And some of you, that's where you're at. You've come to this place where you've just let the enemy tell you, yep, I'm just going to have to deal with this for the rest of my life. No, you do not. Listen, Daryl is 48 years old, and there was things that he struggled with since he was a teenager that he has been broken free of. Only God. Only God. And the thing is, all we have to do is just yield to him. And that's exactly what Daryl did. I'm telling you, that man was praying all the time. Just all the time. And he wouldn't even realize how long he'd been praying. And he would come out. Literally, he was like in our closet. And he would just come out. And then he would just kind of tell me a few things that were so profound and so powerful. And I was just like, oh my goodness. Like, I just wanted to write it down. But it's because of God. So I'm encouraging you men to pray. Pray for your families. Now, ladies, I want to tell you something. If you are carrying the spiritual reins of the head of your household, you need to quit it. Because the man cannot be and won't be who he is while you're holding on to the reins. And some of you need to just set him down, and you're like, yeah, but he's not going to pick them up. You don't even know who he is. He doesn't even serve the Lord. I don't care. You set him down, and then you tell God, now you're going to pilot this plane, this ship, whatever, until he does come in and decide to pick him up, and you watch what happens. And if you're not married, then as the female head of your household, you tell God, you've got these reins. I trust you more than I trust myself. I'm going to trust you more than I don't trust my husband, who won't pick him up. We have to trust him more. When you trust him and you yield to him, I'm telling you, amazing, miraculous things are going to happen. Now, Michael and Shannon, I just want you to know that obviously in my heart, Daryl Evans is the best worship pastor in the world, and he is the most anointed, and I'm probably a little biased. But I want Christian Center, I want you to know what a blessing Michael and Shannon are. And Mike, I want you to know, yes, the reason that you are anointed is not because of something you have or have not done, which I'm sure you're aware of, but I believe there's been a battle in you and the enemy's trying to tell you, well, you need to do this, or you don't need to do this, or blah, 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 blah. And you need to shut that off, because the Holy Spirit's going to encourage you. He'll encourage you with God's word and not with just these random thoughts. So you are super anointed, and You need to just flow with it and go with it, because God is going to, as you do and as you become Mr. Prayer Guy, you're going to see some amazing thing happen. And here's the thing. You don't want to be crazy, but you're going to be. And you just need to be okay with it. Okay? You're going to say crazy things. You're going to sing crazy things. And that's okay, because crazy is how I get past reality and into believing him more. So, Shannon, just get ready. Like, it's going to happen. Now, here's the other thing. As we were worshiping, Shannon, I could see you standing on this stage pregnant. Okay? And I know, and God was like, it's a healthy baby, and she needs to get ready, because he's going to be a warrior. So you're not going to be a worrier while you wait for the warrior. And we are going to bless this pregnancy and this baby, because even all throughout the pregnancy, the enemy is going to try and get you to worry that you're going to lose or that there's going to be something wrong. And as long as you just say, shut up, no, and you don't believe it, it's happening. But do not believe the lies of the enemy. And you need to keep listening to Mike. I'm telling you, Mike is going to have some things for you to encourage you. And he doesn't say these things because he has to. He says these things because he hears from the Lord and he loves you. So quit letting the enemy be like, oh, well, Mike just has to say that because he's your husband. Bull! That's a lie. Mike says it because he hears from the Lord and he knows what you need. Okay? Okay. Now, if you are married in this room and you're sitting close to each other, well, before I do that, let's pray. And I just want to say, I hope that you guys trust God and trust him more even than me, okay? Because he wants to tell you things this morning. And he's excited to love on you and to show you a better way and to give you insights into what he's doing in your life so that you can be encouraged and be like, yeah, like, I'm not just aimlessly walking around on the earth. I have a purpose, okay? So if you just are ready for that, if you trust him, just if you just put a hand or two in your lap, just kind of in surrender to him, okay? Lord, I just thank you that this morning you will have your way, God. That everything that you want to say, Lord, will be said, and that nothing can stop our hearts and our ears from hearing it. Holy Spirit, we yield to you right now. We say, have all of us. God, speak to our innermost being. Lord, touch our souls and let us leave here different people. God, let us be crazy on fire for you, that we will go out of this room and touch other people who want what we've got. They need this peace, Lord, and this difference. God, I thank you that we're just yielded to you this morning. Have your way. Have your way in me. Have your way in each one of us. We love you. Amen. All right, so if your spouse is here, if you're not sitting by them, if you would sit by them. And then husbands, if you just kind of put your arm around your bride. And I want to say this. Even if you're not married, but you live together, do this. Absolutely no shame in it. You need to hear what God is saying, and you don't need the guilt and the shame from the enemy, because things are going to change soon, okay? All right, so arms around them. Now, literally what I'm doing, I'm reading out of 2 Timothy, and it's a prayer that Paul was praying over someone, but I believe that this is for your bride. So if you would, I'm literally just going to read the scripture. And if you just look at her and speak this over your bride, that would be awesome. Okay. I thank God whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith that lives in you. And for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Amen. Now, ladies, let your man pray over you. Men, be more determined than you are scared and afraid of looking like a fool to do it. Read it to your. If you just need to get out your Bible and find a good prayer that somebody prayed over somebody, get it out and read it to your girl. We need your prayers. We need your encouragement. And just, God did not give us, you or your wife, a spirit of timidity and shyness, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. I am telling you, my household is living proof of when a man yields to the Lord, amazing things begin to happen. And here's what God's been showing me too. If I expect it, it's probably not him, because he's the God of Ephesians 3:20, more than we could ask or imagine. So he's wanting to do things that you don't even understand or know about, but if you're praying, you're going to be okay with it. Because let me just tell you, was my heart's desire, and did I grow up as a little girl thinking, man, I wish I could live all the way up by Wisconsin and just be in snow all the time and have absolutely nothing around me, live in cornfields and be freezing cold? No, that was absolutely not a dream of mine. But that's where I am, and I'm more fulfilled than I've ever been because I know it's where God wants me. That's where I want to be. That's where you want to be, I promise. It makes no sense to my mind, but oh, my heart is okay. I am hearing him clearly. He is moving in our family. God is so good.
So the main thing that I would like to, I'm just going to go over a scripture. I'm at Acts 3, if you want to turn there, you can. Y'all don't want to hear me sniffing, so I'm just going to grab. Got it. Thank you.
So something that I've been studying recently is how God works and what he does all throughout his word when Jesus himself was teaching, or even when the apostles were doing anything. And what's so sweet is it's an acronym that's MOM, M-O-M. And I thought, how precious, like this is the mother heart of God for us, his tenderness and him wanting to take care of us. And how he always did it was there was ministry, then there was operation, which is like there'd be ministry time, then operation can be prayer time or more worship or laying on of hands or whatever. And then manifestation, which would be the healings or people being set free from demons or people's hearts being healed from wounds. So, and that was always how he worked and how, like throughout the word, how you'll see everything happen. So I just thought that was really sweet too, that's the mother heart of God towards you, is that we're set free, that we walk in wholeness, that we don't, it is a lie from the enemy to say that you have to be the way that you are. But the thing is, it also takes a lot of faith to say, well, I'm not going to be this way forever. But here's the thing. He also gives you the faith. If you ask him, God, I just don't believe it. And I need you to help me believe it. Then he'll also give you that so that then you can have what he's promised. Because he is so precious that everything God requires, he also gives you. Like, it's unbelievable. Because I even remember, like, just at the beginning of this week when the Lord was like, you should fast. And then every time you want those things, which was like every 30 seconds the first day, I thought I was going to die. He was like, every time you want it, just pray. And that in that way, there was a lot of prayer happening for this, for today, because dear God, I'm overcome by sugar sometimes. But he was like, and then when it's really hard for you, just ask me and I'll help you. And it was like, so what he asked of me, then he also helped me to do.
Like, hello, who wouldn't want to serve a God like that? Like, I don't want to just serve some God who just has a list of 30 things that I have to do and then check, 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 check. Okay, done. I think I'm good. No, our God is like, I'm holy and I'm just, so you need to be too. But so, okay, here's Jesus. I'm going to send him to die on a cross for you. Now just believe in him, rely on him, rely on the Holy Spirit in you, and you're good. Now let's go get more people. We're going to go somewhere with this. And it's like, man, like he makes it so easy and so wonderful. I just cannot tell you. And here's what's crazy too. Like, I'm saying all this to you, but if you could see my day-to-day life, man, sometimes it is the grind. And there are some times when I don't know how we're going to pay the bills. But the thing is, I seriously have just learned to trust God so much that that stuff doesn't bother me anymore. Like, it just can't, because if he brought me this far, why am I whining now? And I'm blessed. Like, he goes above and beyond. He doesn't just give me my needs. He gives me my wants, too. Things that I don't even ask for sometimes. And he just supplies them. And I'm just like, you knew I wanted that. I didn't even say anything. You're just so good. And when you have just that, I'm telling you guys, I know that there are times when if people were in my house, they would think that I'm crazy. And I'm okay with that, because I'm just constantly talking to him because I need to, or I am going to go crazy. Or I'm going to yell at my kids and hurt them because I'm just angry and spent on life. I don't want to be that mom anymore. I don't want to be the mom anymore who comes home and is already so wound tight because I'm just pressed with the cares of this world that when they ask me one question, I just snap. And I'm like, oh, can't you just figure it out yourself? And they're like, I thought that was what you were here for. But when I'm trusting God and I trust him more than I don't trust the world, more than I don't trust what I see, more than I don't trust my circumstances, I trust him more, then I'm at peace. Then everything's okay, because he always makes a way. And it's almost become fun. And I mean this, like, it's almost, and I say almost because I am still human. There are times when I just get frustrated and I'm like, could you hurry up? But there are times when it's like fun where I'm like, okay, Lord, the house payment's due in 10 days. What are you going to do? Is Daryl going to, because sometimes Daryl's on the road, or some nights he doesn't always have like a concert to do. And so I'm like, okay, how are you going to do it? And then all of a sudden T-Mobile will call me and be like, oh, for some reason you're overpaid and you don't have to pay your cell phone bill this month. And I'm like, yes, thank you, Lord. Just crazy things happen. But that's my daddy God taking care of us. And he just does. And I just trust him most of the time. And then when I don't, I go get his word, and that's when, and I get his promises out to remind myself. Or I'll throw on some worship music. Because let me just tell you, when you put on praise or worship music, the devil has to go. And all his evil thoughts and him trying to destroy you with it. All right, Acts 3. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man who had been unable to walk from birth was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, so that he could beg alms from those who were entering the temple. So when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking them for coins. But Peter, along with John, stared at him intently and said, look at us. And the man began to pay attention to them, eagerly expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name, authority, and power of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, begin now to walk and go on walking. Can you imagine having that boldness? Somebody was looking at you, you know, one of those guys on the side of the street, and instead you just roll down your window and you're like, bro, I ain't got nothing for you. But let me just tell you, in Jesus' name, you can get a job. Or you can, you know, like, let the Lord speak to you. Wouldn't that be awesome? Then he seized the man's right hand with a firm grip and raised him up. And at once his feet and ankles became strong and steady, and with a leap he stood up and began to walk. And he went into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. The man that was lame forever is now walking and leaping and praising God. And did they beat him over the head with the Bible first and tell him that he needed to repent of all his sins? No. No.
They were just like, dude, I don't have any money for you, but I'll give you what I do have. That's who I want to become. Here's what I do have. Because you know what? The world wants peace. They need peace. We have a lot of chaos happening right now. And they don't want something fake. They don't want something that already looks like the world. They want the authentic, real craziness of Jesus. Because that's the only thing that's going to scratch that itch that they don't know why they're needing something. It's the only thing that can fill the hole. He is. And when I'm yielded to him and willing to be crazy for him, because sometimes I just feel like that's what it's going to take in these last times, he's going to do some amazing things. And it won't be because you had eloquent speech or you'd read your Bible for 10 years and you went to Bible school and you know what to say. That's not even who God uses. Most of the time, those of us who went to Bible school are so full of head knowledge that we can't even hear the Lord anymore. It's those of us who are just broken and we just know, okay, God, I don't know why you want to use me and help me help you, but you do, and I'm available, and here I am, and boom, amazing things begin to happen. Verse 9. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the very man who usually sat begging for coins at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement and were mystified at what had happened to him. When we just walk in the peace of God and in his confidence, it's not that I'm confident in who I am. It's that I'm confident in who he is. I know he's going to show up. And that's the thing even about today. And that's why I'm so grateful that he's already shown up. I mean, hello, worship was awesome. He is here. He is moving among us. And it can be a daily thing. It doesn't just have to be every time you're at church on Sunday. It can be every single day of your life. That's what God wants for you. And you are called and anointed to do what I'm doing right now. And I can hear some of you in your heads, oh, you have no idea. No, I'm not. Yes, you truthfully are. That's what his word says. All he asked us to do after he died and he rose back, he said, just go and make disciples. Guys, that means all of us. He was talking to fishermen and tax collectors. And in that day, those were all the things that they did. So he's also talking to the stay-at-home mom and to the guy who rotates tires and to the guy who passes out the newspaper. Whatever it is you do, God is speaking to you, and he wants you to be this voice that goes out into the world and says, guys, there's a better way. Like, you are barely making it. The world is crazy. Times are hard. It's tough. I know. I live here. I get it. But the only way that I make it and then also have joy and don't yell at my kids and be crazy and hate my husband and hate my life is because of him. Because of his peace. He's amazing. And what I want you to see too is that these things like Paul and John are doing, Peter and John are doing, can happen for us too. You can go to a coworker and just say, are you okay? I've just noticed you're just, you know, I can see that you're not okay. Well, can I just pray for you? And then you pray whatever in the mighty name of Jesus Christ and watch that person, something crazy will happen that afternoon. And I'm telling you, it's so exciting. I would rather have these things happening and just be so excited about, he did it, he did it, than somebody come up to me and hand me $1 million. And I'm not kidding. I'd just rather go day to day. You just give me what I need. Hello, that was Jesus's prayer. Just give me what I need for today. But have all my excitement and my joy coming from all these people that I know having amazing things happen. And they're like, oh, he is real. He did this and this. And we only prayed one time. And I didn't even tell you about all the sin that I did yesterday. Yeah, because he loves you and he cares about you. And what happens is when you see how awesome he is, you just automatically start to change. It's not some 10 steps to this or 7 steps to this. That's law. Who needs more things to do? Not me. It's rely on him. It's trust him. those songs this morning, you're his love. I love you. You love me. Let's keep that conversation going all day. Because when I have his love on me, man, I feel like Superwoman. Like I can conquer the world. I can do anything. And then is that fear and the depression and all this stuff that tries to creep in on me throughout the day and throughout the week comes in. Then that's when I have to go back to how much he loves me, how much I love him, have some praise and worship, read a good scripture that tells me that I wasn't given a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of sound mind and self-discipline. Then I'm ready to go. It's just daily reminders, because here's the thing. We do have an enemy. His name is Satan, and he is after you. He wants to destroy you. He doesn't want to see you happy and fulfilled, or he wants to see you happy, just happy, surface happy, but with still deep down inside, you're just a pit, a mess. He's fine with that. He'll leave you alone. Sure, be happy. Go to work every day, make some money, be happy, whatever. I'm talking about real joy, where like chaos can be happening around you and you're still happy. And people are like, she drank before she get here? Why is she so happy? Yes, I drank. I drank in his word. And it's what just sustains me. I mean, for real. I'm a living testimony of it. All right, let's keep going. Sorry. Verse 11. Now, while he was still holding on to Peter and John, all the people, utterly amazed, ran together and crowded around them at the covered porch called Solomon's Portico. And Peter, seeing this, said to the people, "You men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Why are you staring at us as though we, by our own power or godliness, made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant and son, the one whom you handed over and disowned and rejected before Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned and denied the holy and righteous one and asked for the pardon of a murderer to be granted to you. But you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead. To this fact, we are witnesses. We saw him. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health and complete wholeness in your presence." That same Jesus is here this morning wanting to touch each one of you. He wants to heal. He wants to mend. He wants to make new. All the things that I've already mentioned, God wants to do it. And he's already started this morning just in worship. Because he's intent on you. He knows you. He knows your story. He knows where you're at. He knows what you've been through. In fact, he was there with you. The times when you have felt the most alone, God was there. You didn't see him because we walk, it's faith. We can't see the spiritual realm. The enemy was there too. He was trying to destroy you in those times. But God was right there beside you, saying, "No, you'll not destroy. I've got a plan for this one. She's going to be amazing. I've got a plan for this man. He's going to win some souls." It's the truth. He loves you so much. You really can't even fathom it. We just can't understand it because we just have human brains. His love for you is deeper than you can imagine. And it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, he still loves you hugely. And he wants to work through your life to let other people know how much they are loved. I can only love my kids and my husband the way they need to be loved when I've let him love on me. That's my gauge. When I get home or when they come home from school and I'm like already annoyed and like, don't, if somebody else says mom one more time, because there's five of them, guys. So just think, if they each said my name only three times, which would be a miracle, that's 15 times. And you're talking about an hour. That can make somebody go crazy. Almost been there, almost done that. But that's my gauge when I just immediately want to be like, ugh. my name is not mom, or go lock myself in my bathroom. I'm like, okay, I do need to go lock myself in the bathroom. Let's go pray. Lord, I need you to love on me, because obviously I didn't let enough get in yet, because I don't want to be ugly to my kids. I don't want to be this bad mom who's just rawr all the time. And he's amazing. Like, there's not even anything powerful or special that I can tell you that happens in the bathroom, except that I'm literally looking at myself in the mirror sometimes. Like, God, you got to help me. And then all of a sudden, I can just open that bathroom door and I'm good. I don't know what happened and I don't care. I asked for it. He helped. We're good. I'm not going to hurt one of the kids today. I'm going to keep them alive. Thank you, Jesus. Daryl will come home and still have 5 kids. Woo! And some days that can just be a victory in and of itself. There's nothing wrong with that. Women, quit putting so much pressure on yourself to be the perfect mom. Especially those of you who have to work and keep care of everybody. That's when you really just be like, okay, God, you're seriously going to have to like do something. Because I'm tired today. I just had an awful day at work. People were horrible. And now I've got to go home and deal with these kids. And yes, I'm just saying deal with them, because it's not even love today. It's keep them alive. Guys, he can handle that. He's not offended by it. He's not shocked. He already knows. So just tell him the truth. My day sucked. I need you to help this day get better, or I'm going to go to bed and I'm not going to feed them. They can fend for themselves. Because there are days when that is how I feel. And he will come in, but I'm telling you, he'll do amazing things. Like, somebody will come over to your house and be like, you know what? I just felt like I was supposed to bring you and your kids food. So here's dinner and here's some paper plates so you don't even have to do the dishes, and have a good night. And that's when you're like, you heard me. You're amazing. Try it. He'll do it. He is amazing. Like, I just cannot even put into words how amazing he is. Okay, let's keep going. I can find where I was. 17. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, not fully aware of what you were doing, just as your rulers did also, talking about crucifying Jesus. And so God has fulfilled what he foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. So repent. I'm reading out of the Amplified, so it gives you some definitions. Repent. I just lost my place. Change your inner self, your old way of thinking. Regret your past sins and return to God. Seek his purpose for your life so that your sins will be wiped away, blotted out, completely erased forever, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, restoring you like a cool wind on a hot day. Love that. That's what we need. Tired of this hot, mundane life. You know, like, sometimes I even think about that when I'm getting the kids up for school and I'm just praying as I'm driving through the neighborhood for all these houses who don't know the Lord. Like, it's hard enough to do life with God and him helping me. I can't imagine doing it without him. Like, what's the point? You just get up every morning and you do the same thing. You go to work. You come home. You feed your family. You may kiss them, and then you all go to bed and you get up and you do it again. And then every once in a while, something good happens. You know, you get excited for Christmas. You have a vacation to go on. You have a t-ball game to go to, and it's fun to watch those little kids who don't know what they're doing. Like, you know, you have these little joys. I know real joy. Like, all the time joy. Like, even when it's crazy at my house and they're all hyper and running around, and I can just laugh it off and be like, whatever, this is so much fun. That's what he can do. He restores you like a cool wind on a hot day, saves you from just the monotony of life. He makes life more exciting. Because here's the thing too, as I've really learned to trust him and just not be concerned about stuff, then I'm not so, I don't know how to say this nicely without offending my mom. I'm not so up my own rear end that I can actually see other people to be light and bring joy to them too. I mean, seriously, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes the enemy can lie to you so much that your situation's so bad that it's never going to get better, that blah, 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 that all you do is think about you. You got to pay this bill. My back hurts. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got all these pressures on me. It's like you don't even see anybody around you. But when he comes in, like cool wind on a hot day, you're like, there's other people here. Well, hey, what are you doing? I'll actually look up at the grocery store and smile instead of, I'm going to pretend like I don't see anybody. Don't look at me. Don't talk to me. I mean, hello, what do we do with these all the time? Seriously. Like, now that, so Leah turned 12, so she's allowed to have a cell phone. Jesus help us. And so, but as soon as, she literally turned 12 January 8th. So she's had it, what, 2.5 months, 3 months? And already, I'm like, we have 3 tech days that she's not allowed to have it. But the thing is, who is she watching? Who always has their phone in their hand? Me. So when I did no tech days, the Lord was like, well, you know, you have to put your phone in the basket too, right? I was like, but God, Daryl could call. He's like, well, you could turn it on and still hear it. But then I can't check Facebook every 10 seconds to see what somebody else is doing. Which I shouldn't be doing, because then I compare myself to all those people who facade book are acting like, oh, it's so great and it's so grand. When as soon as they shut the camera off, they're just yelling at each other and hate each other. And it's just as awful as it was at my house before Jesus came in like cool wind on a hot day. Come on. Don't be fake with me. It's the truth. So I'm encouraging you, put your cell phones down. Your kids are watching. And I'm telling you too, it really was hard for me, which hurt my feelings, because I was like, I'm addicted to this thing. But as we've had no tech days where I make her put it in the basket, we put them in the basket. We like actually hang out. It's really amazing to hang out with your kids. They're very funny. And you know what? They'll even teach you things too. Like in a really good, humble way where you don't get mad at your husband for saying it, because I'm like, or your mom or your boss or somebody, you know, like your kid will just tell you the truth and you're like, yeah, that's true. You know? And then when you hang out with them too, what you'll find is they love each other more and they'll stop fighting. And I'm not kidding. I'm just sharing with you good little insights of what God's done in our family. But he could only do it because I said yes to him. And then I just yielded. Just show me, God. And he will. And here's the other thing. You know, you can hear the Lord. You can. You need to stop letting the enemy lie to you and tell you that you don't hear him, because you do. And the thing is, it sounds a lot like your own voice in your head. Because I don't ever hear an audible, hey, Charity, this is what you need to speak on. This is what you need to say. This is what I want you to tell your kids. No, it's that when, for instance, you know, Leah will come in and I can tell she's been hanging out with people who she should not be hanging out with. She has an attitude. And it's an attitude that we don't keep in our house. She's a little arrogant. She's a little rude. She's made fun of her brothers. She's putting them down, trying to make them feel bad about themselves. Like, wonder who she's been hanging out with. Now, the old Charity would have just pinched her or spanked her until I felt better. That's not going to help Leah's life. It's not going to do anything for her. I'm not saying spankings aren't good. Spankings are good, especially for the little ones. It's how we help them learn. But what I'm saying is, so I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to talk to her, but I don't even know what to say. So I just need your help. And then literally all of a sudden, I'll just start talking and I know it's God, because I'm like, ooh, that was good. Did you hear that, Leah? That was good. And that's all I did was just say, help me. And then he did. There was no 10 steps to get him to do it. He just does, because I expected him to show up. So he did. Just expect him to show up and he will. I mean, he is amazing. But here's the next step of what I want you to do after that. Okay. Because I know I've been praying for you guys. You're all going to do it this week. You're going to begin to just ask him to do stuff. Now, once he does, start telling people. Okay. Because number one, then you won't forget about it. Because that's the thing the enemy's going to try and do. He's going to try and make it be like, oh, well, that wasn't that big of a deal. Yes, it was. I had no idea what to say to my 12-year-old daughter who's been hanging out with these brats who get everything they want, and their parents are serving the world, and their kids are headed there with them, and I need Leah to be different, not follow them, so that they want what she has. I don't know what to say to her. I'm not that complex. I don't have all this wisdom, but he does. And then all of a sudden, I just start talking, and I'm saying some pretty good stuff. Because I asked him, and he did it. So then share it with people, okay? Tell somebody. Have a testimony. Do you know that in Revelation that says that's how we're going to make it, is the word of our testimony? By the blood of the Lamb, because of what he did, we make it. And the word of our testimony. Well, here's your testimony, is how good he's been to you, what he's done for you. We've got to start telling people that more often, because they need to know, they need what we need. You will totally help somebody by just telling them, man, I just told God that I was just really tired today, and my husband came home. You're not going to believe this. Don't fall over or pass out. But he came home. He said, I'm going to make dinner, and I'm going to put the kids in the bed. But what? That had to be God. Do you hear me? God is that good. He will do things. And then for you husbands, who your wife is just nag, 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 nag. All of a sudden, she's going to find that scripture in Proverbs that says it's really a good idea not to be a dripping faucet of a wife. And she's going to be quiet, and you're going to know it was God. You're going to be like, wait a minute. I think it's been 3 days since she told me about that. You heard me. You're answering. Yeah, he did, and he will. He's so amazing. Trust him. Tell people. Let's have a testimony. Let's share with people what God is doing. Let's do 19 again. So repent, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, regret your past sins, and return to God. Seek his purpose for your life, because there is a big one, so that your sins will be wiped away, blotted out, completely erased forever, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, restoring you like a cool wind on a hot day, and that he may send to you Jesus the Christ, who has been appointed for you, whom heaven must keep until the time for the complete restoration of all things about which God promised through the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your countrymen. You shall listen to him and obey everything he tells you, and it will be that every person that does not listen to and heed that prophet will be utterly destroyed from among the people. Indeed, all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and those who came after him, also announce these days. You are the sons, the descendants of the prophets. You are. And heirs of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth will be blessed. You are an heir of God. Now I have a question. If I am an heir, H-E-I-R, so that means that I'm going to get what my parents leave me once they're gone, right? And Jesus is gone, so that's us. We get what he left, and he left us the Holy Spirit and all the promises in his word. But so if I'm going to get what they leave, so then once they die, what do I have to do? Like, are there steps for me to do this? No. It's literally just because I'm their kid. Like, that's it. Right? I don't have to jump through hoops or, you know, okay, now your parents are dead. Now you've got to go clean their house out. You've got to go do this. No, like I just get it because I'm their kid. So quit letting the enemy lie to you and tell you that you've got to do all these things to deserve his anointing, to deserve the call of God that's on your life. There is nothing you do but yield to him. But the enemy doesn't want you to know that because it's so easy. He wants to make it hard so that you'll just resist and be like, no, that's okay. When God wants you to have this life that is like, boom, bam, wow, amazing, you're full of joy, you're totally okay, and people are just coming along and they're like, what has changed with you? And then you can tell him, dude, he's amazing. He answers my prayers and he helps me all the time. And your testimony is what's going to cause others to want him. Like, it's going to be really easy. I'm telling you, this church is going to be packed out when you guys start doing this. And it's going to be an exciting time. 26. It was for you, first of all, that God raised up his servant and son Jesus and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. It was for you, first of all, that God raised Jesus from the dead. It was for you. He loves you so much. And here's the thing that frustrates me. He died on the cross so that we could have an abundant life, so that we could have joy and peace. So why do we walk around so crummy sometimes? Why do I let the world and its opinions and its, you know, what I need and what I don't have, why do I let that bog me down? That's not who I want to be. I want to be yielded to God and just say, I trust you more than I don't trust this craziness. I trust you, and I know that you're going to come through big. And the more that you hear these kind of words and that you hang out with people who are also having faith and trusting God, the more you're going to see happen. Now, I know this morning already that God's been touching hearts. He was doing it through worship. But there are some specific prayer requests that some of you in this room have that God wants to answer. He wants to blow your socks off. He wants to amaze you. He wants to give you Ephesians 3:20 more than you could ask or imagine. Here's the thing. All you have to do is ask him. You've just got to want it. Believe that he's going to do it. And if you can't believe, like I have been, and you just say, God, help me. I can't even believe this. I need help. I need to believe that you're going to do this for me. And then all of a sudden, it's crazy. It's just like by osmosis. You just start believing that God is for you and he is on your side and he is going to give you the thing that you've been praying for and the thing that you need. He is going to do it. I'm telling you, some of you guys are going to have some miracles before the day's out. Trust him more. Let us be like Peter and John, who can just go to somebody and be like, I don't have any money to give you, but you know what I do have? He's amazing. Just stand up and walk. Try it. And then people are like, and it doesn't take some great man of God with great faith to do that. No, it just takes somebody who simply says, God, I trust you. I trust you. Oh, if I could just like transfer trust onto you guys, I would. But that's the one thing. You just have to ask for it. God, help me trust you. Lord, let me believe for the whatever it is you're believing for. Even if it's the little things like he cares, teenagers, when you get a zit and you do not like it and you don't want it on your face. Living proof. Used to pray this. God, clear my face up. This is so disgusting. I'm embarrassed. I promise you, I would pray that sometimes and the next morning my face would be clear. That's not a lie. Because he cares. There is nothing too little that he's going to be like, oh, did you hear what she just asked the Almighty One for? No, he loves you. He wants you to be okay. He wants your family to be together without fighting, without arguing. He wants your body healed. He wants your marriage healed. I know in this room, not because I've been talking to my mom, but because I've been praying, I know in this room that marriages have been under attack. The enemy does not win. The first lie you cannot believe is you never should have married him. And never should have done this. Don't say that and don't believe it. It's a lie from the pit of hell. The next thing that you cannot believe is that your spouse is your enemy, because they're not. Here's the thing. We've all got issues, okay? But that's why we need Jesus, because he helps us with our issues. My family is living proof. And then your marriage can be better than it ever was before. You know what else that means you're going to have to do? Forgive. And you're not forgiving for them. You're forgiving for you. please don't stay in the jail cell of unforgiveness. The enemy will try and convince you to stay there that it's just healthier, it's safer. That's a lie. As soon as you forgive, and listen, you're going to forgive and you're going to have to forgive again because it'll come back and you'll remember. And as soon as the enemy brings the memory back of what happened, then you just go, no, God, I choose to forgive. Help me forgive, God, because I don't even know how to do that. I've been so hurt. Help me forgive. Oh, he will. Sovereignly. And I can't tell you what magic is going to happen. It happens in your heart. He will just help you forgive. Guys, I'm going to stay here for a minute. I know it's uncomfortable, but I want you free. There are some of you in this room who aren't even married, but you still need to forgive your exes. You need to forgive your parents for not getting it right. No parent's going to get it right, but God always will. But here's the thing. The enemy's going to try and reflect some of the stuff that happened to you between you and your dad, especially onto him, like God is like your earthly father was, and that's a lie. God's way better. He'd never hurt you. He won't. It's a promise. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. It's a promise. When you don't feel him, tell him, I don't feel you. I need to feel you right now. But let's have some forgiveness happening that you just tell God, Lord, I don't even know how to forgive that jerk. He'll help you. Now, what I'd like to do, Mike, if you would just come up here by yourself, that would be awesome. And just play whatever you want because you're anointed. And I want to have some altar time. I think we need to pray. I know we need to pray because I know that God wants to meet you right where you are. You just come honest. Tell him the truth. And he'll meet you right where you are and help you with everything that you need. It really is that easy. And here's what I know that the Lord's been showing me. I want this church to become a church who stays at the altar. Like, during worship, I'm going to the altar. If Pastor Steve's speaking and I just feel the anointing, I'm going to go to the altar and sit down and just pray and cry while he speaks. When he's done speaking, I'm going to the altar. Because you know what happens at the altar? It's not that there's anything special about these stairs and this carpet. It's that I actually took the time to step out of my comfort zone. God forbid anybody get out of their comfort zone. And just go to the front. And this is me without even speaking, saying, you've got me. I'm yielded to you. Because here's the thing. As soon as you say that, then all of a sudden, miracles start happening for you. It's the craziest thing. I almost feel guilty. Because it's like, you know, here I am going to just say that you've got me. And then you just lavish me with your love. And with gifts. And with anointing. And with courage to be who I'm supposed to be. It's got nothing to do with the carpet and the stairs. It has all to do with your heart. But there's something about a heart that says, God, this is, shouldn't be. It's been a long time since we've just been a church of the altars. But I think the enemy even took that from your childhood and thought, oh, well, that just got crazy, so don't do it anymore. No, guys. It's just about having a yielded heart that says, you know what? I'm going to be uncomfortable for a few minutes. And I'm just going to get up and come down here and just say to you, I need you. That's all he wants. He just wants to know that you need him. Because when we're Mr. Independent and Miss Independent, we just, oh, well, I got this. I can do this. My life's good. It's all right. It's good. Do you know how many people, like if we surveyed, even in this room, but even at a mall, if you took a survey of 100 people and you said, hey, are you a good person? I guarantee you 99 out of 100 would say, oh yeah, I'm a good person. Even I do that. Yes, I'm a good person. Well, because yeah, I did do this and this and this, but at least I didn't da-da-da-da-da, because that's who I used to be. I don't want my self-justification. Blah. I want his justification. because his justification is going to cover all of it. And I don't want God just to add him to my pocket, just to be another thing. That's not who God wants to be. He wants to be number one in my life. That's how things change. That's how people around me change. That's how my circumstance, that's how these miracles are all happening, is because I said, I want you more than I want what even I want, which was scary. It was scary to me to say to God, I want what you want more than what I want. Oh, please let it be that we get to live in Texas forever and have 5 kids and be married and it's going to be awesome. And then things kind of start changing and I'm like, oh, this is so uncomfortable. I don't want to move. I don't want to do this. But I trust him more. I move. My life is amazing. It's amazing. Don't just be okay with your justification. Oh, I'm a good person. Oh, I didn't do this or this. I did this today and this today, but it's okay because I didn't do this and this and this. I was better. No, God, I'm an idiot. I'm telling him this right now because it's the truth. I don't get things right. Oftentimes, I don't make the right choice because I don't know how. So just help me. Help me make the right choice. Give me the courage to get out of my comfort zone and to reach people for you. Let me be different and not the same. So this morning, God wants to meet you right where you're at. Whatever it is you've been praying for and believing God for, all I'm asking is that you just come to the altar and we're just going to begin to pray. And those of you who would normally come down and pray for people, if God's telling you to do it, then do it. But if not, please just come down and pray and have some conversation between you and the Lord. He wants to meet you right where you're at.
I'm going to ask, thank you, Ben, for bringing your bride. Guys, let me just tell you, as a woman, they're waiting for you to lead them. They want you to take that place. 3 things came to me today that I want you to search. Will y'all just stand with us? Makes it a little easier for those who do want to come to the altar. Number one, you need to claim this. If you know you need to claim this in your life, I need to have more faith in what God says than what the enemy says. You know right now you're out of balance. You believe what the enemy says more than you believe what God says. I want you to come today. I want you to come without expectation, but with expectancy. Don't come saying, this is what I'm going to get. Don't come telling him what you need. Come with expectancy that he knows what you need, and he'll give you what you need. And I'm going to ask you today, if there are people in here, I feel so strongly about this. If you have let other people make you feel guilty about who you are, and they're Christians, you have told them that they're right by letting them make you feel guilty, that they don't know any better than to find Jesus because you let them be right. You need to set you and them both free and come today and not be guilty, but be set free. So I'm asking you, if any of those are you, come today and let God do something. I'm looking. I want you to know right now, I'm looking to see teenagers in this altar. You know why? Because only you can bring you. Your parents can't do it for you. Thank you. I'm looking to see people who want to be set free and just say, God, amaze me. Mike's going to sing and we're just going to worship. And I'm going to ask, while you're in this room, if you would just pray for those who are here. Maybe you should turn around to somebody beside you and just say, are you going through something that I could pray for you with? Would you just take time to do that if you're still standing? Just turn around to someone and ask them if you can pray with them about something.